with Susan Harrison and Gemma Arrowsmith. Today we have another of our Edinburgh Fringe specials in which Hayley Danks and Ruth Goodchild review the art of improv. Enjoy!
Hello, it's Hayley Danks here.
And Ruth Goodchild over here, hello.
And we are still at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I think for me, spending time with comedians is the absolute pinnacle of happiness.
It is, because they're, you know, they write comedy, they make people laugh, they're jolly people.
They're jolly.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. The boys that I'm living with currently.
Mm, and it's, how many, 16?
Actually, it's gone down to 14.
Oh, what happened to the two?
To one was suffering from manic depression.
Right.
And the other one thought he was. So, you know... That right. was really, they really had no option but to be carted off back to London from whence they came.
Right, right. Well, I mean, if there's one thing we can say about comedy, it's not a place for depression.
No. You've got to have your head screwed on.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, the rest of the lads, you know, as you know, great bunch of boys.
Lovely.
They've become, as you know, selective mutes collectively.
That's right.
In my company, which I think is a wonderful experiment.
It's quirky. You know, it's quirky. They'll speak to certain people but not others. And it's probably because, you know, you're a reviewer, so they respect you.
Yeah.
And that's, they thought, let's not speak in the presence of reviewers so that it's just our art.
Exactly.
That's being judged.
I think that's right.
That's what it is.
I think that's right. And ever since I gave them, as you know, on day one, I gave them a bad review. And ever since then, it's been a lovely sort of like frisson of of respect between them and I.
And it was the fact that you've gone back every other day and reviewed every other performance of theirs.
Yeah, well, I'm nothing if not fair, Ruth.
Exactly.
I wanted to give them another shot and then another shot and then another shot.
And then another shot.
Yeah.
And they went up to 2 stars
yes.
at one point.
Yeah.
So you're saying, hey, look, I'm fair. Mm. It can go up if you did. And that was the one day that the Foster's Awards people were in. So you were being kind, if anything.
Well, I was showing them that there was room for somewhere to go.
Exactly.
Because, as you know, with my publication, I like to I don't like to award too highly.
No,
because otherwise
no.
people stop trying.
Exactly. Rest on their laurels. That's the last thing that we need.
Yeah. I know you feel the same
way. I feel exactly the same way. And I know that they were a little irritated that you stood up and said, this is a bit better.
I
think that's encouraging.
I was sort of showing the way.
Exactly. You were like a sort of football fan going, yeah, when the goal goes in. That's what you were doing. You were saying, this is marginally better than it has been.
Yes. There is a slight improvement, I shouted at one point.
Exactly. But for some reason...
Yeah.
They saw that as a slight.
I think they'll get over that. I think maybe with the two members of the sketch troupe leaving, they've had to do some heavy recasting as well from other shows. So maybe they were sort of on the back foot somewhat, but I mean,
these things are sent to trials.
Well, exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, I know that you don't believe in any sort of positive feedback because you feel that it sort of makes one lazy.
Lazy. You know, it's spare the rod, spoil the child. That's how I feel about performers. Treat them like children. So no positive feedback, just harsh criticism. And then next year they'll come back weaker, but with a sense that they need to try harder, and that's the point.
Yeah. No. I think really, I mean, I don't want to put words into your mouth, but I imagine that your long-term approach is to sort of break them down to build them up several years.
Exactly. To be honest, it's break them down, and then they have to build themselves up. That's the character building.
Yeah, you're right.
You see, because it's not my job to build them back up.
No.
You know.
No. So this week... You and I have had the dubious honour.
Very dubious honour.
Of reviewing improvisation.
This is a very odd art form.
Yeah.
And you had to explain it to me.
Because I
was very perplexed.
Yeah, no, quite. So basically, it's you don't have a script. You do not have a plan. You go where the wind takes you.
Right. I mean, could that be described as laziness?
Oh, certainly. I think you can definitely... I mean, well, it was.
It was.
Described as laziness in fact, every single one of your reviews.
Let's start... Yeah, that was my opening paragraph.
You copy and pasted it.
This is lazy, but
yeah,
is how I started.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the first group that we saw.
Yeah.
Now this was over at the free festivalisation.
Yes, yes.
Now there's
yes.
been a big sort of controversy between all of the free festivals yeah. this year, hasn't there? But that yeah. The festivalisations was good, and they were operating out of a little shack over near Leith.
Yeah. It was unfortunate that the shack. Burnt down, but luckily they built it up again.
They forged ahead, you know.
They literally forged it.
Forged it from metal.
From metal.
And and art and dreams.
And goodwill.
And goodwill. And the money from the bucket.
The bucket, yeah.
What was the name of the group? They all sort of blur for
okay.
me.
So it was the Hoppy Frogtastics.
Yes. Okay.
The Hobby Frogtastics from Loughborough University.
Right.
Now, you know, the thing that I liked about this one, I mean, obviously, as you know, you started all of your improvisation reviews with the lazy butt.
Yeah.
As you know, I started all of mine with improvisation is always a bit hit and miss. And I did in every review because it is.
However. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say. I'm not going to not include that because it's like holding back a truth.
Exactly.
Hit and miss. People need to know something might not be as good every single time.
Exactly. They need to have their expectations lowered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, this isn't going to be of the quality of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah, you know? No, exactly. Although, I will say, the one thing for the Hoppy Frogtastic from Loughborough University players was that actually they followed the structure of... Whose Line Is It Anyway? Now, I've been watching improvisation for 2 weeks. So I feel that
about.
I'm now in a position. So I didn't want to patronise you. You probably know this. But so this form is called short form.
Okay.
And it follows the Whose Line Is It Anyway school of thought.
Yes.
Whose Line Is It Anyway is like a school of thought. And it's like... basically sort of games. And
see, this thing, I hate games. You know, all sorts of games.
And you also hate play.
Playing, yes.
Playing, openness, games,
exactly.
Joy.
Playing instruments. You know, it's all anathema to me. That's what I don't understand. Parlour games at Christmas, well, I just don't play them.
No.
I think about them and how I'm happy I'm not playing them.
Well, did you take that into any of your... viewings of the improvised that
very,
you
very
sit there
much
thinking,
so.
Oh, I'm happy that I'm not partaking.
Yeah. But I'm also equally unhappy that I'm sitting here watching.
Interesting dynamic.
Yes. So, I think I brought that yin and yang into the reviews.
Yeah,
ultimately.
I think
you definitely
sort of intermingled those two, contrasting feelings.
Which one has to do, you know. Oh. So there's layers to one's review. So these games...
Yes, yeah.
So let's go through. So what was the first one?
The first one was a game called New Choice.
New Choice,
in
right.
which there were two players and another person who would prompt them to make a new choice about
I
things.
I see.
Now the thing I did like about this was that they were very clear from the start. They told us what we were going to see.
And then we saw it.
I was so relieved. I hate not knowing what's going to happen. I hate it.
It's sort of like the prologue in Romeo and Juliet. So this is what's going to happen. Yeah. So now you can basically relax.
And if
you zone out, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
So that's what I like that
I
too.
I like seeing there are clear rules. We know what they are. And somebody said it with a clear voice and a nice loud projecting voice at the start.
And preferably an RP.
Yeah.
So that one can understand it.
Well, yes, of course, you know, they were from Loughborough University and they could all afford to be up here for the month. So, yes.
It was
very nice RP. And I liked the fact that we knew exactly what was going to happen. I just felt that sometimes they weren't clear
yes.
about what was going to happen.
Because it's almost like the direction of the scene changed lots of times.
Lots of times.
It was...
Even within 1 minute, Ruth.
You know, I want a clear delineation of, oh, I know who's going to fall in love with who. You know, sort of clear structures, like a rom-com or horror. We know what's going to happen. Whereas with this, I just felt, well, I don't know what's going to happen next.
No. And there were a couple of times when somebody spoke over somebody else. And
Oh, dear. It's almost like they haven't rehearsed
it.
Ridiculous.
So, there was that. There was also some... Now, Ruth, this was another thing. I'm really not very happy about this, but this is called long form. Now, I think we both were very uncertain because...
Yes.
Now, with the long form that I witnessed from various groups, nobody explained to me beforehand what was going to happen
going
or what
on.
I was going to see.
No.
Nobody explained that, Ruth.
There wasn't even, like, a programme or anything that one could look at and sort of read the plot.
And sometimes things were happening and then sort of happening again.
A bit later.
Sort of like a...
Coming back, spinning plates or something.
Sort of calling back to something
yeah.
that had happened and... Nobody told me it would, and I found it very stressful.
It was very... I was shaking.
I'd like to know where I stand, and I did not know where I stood.
When one goes to an opera, you have a programme that says, this is the plot.
Yeah.
Because obviously no one understands.
Yeah.
So you have it written there,
yeah.
and when you're saying, right, who's in love with who,
yeah.
who's going to kill whom, I can look in the programme and I can read... Who's playing what character? And you can read a little bit about, you know, their background, where they trained, were they at Royal Northern or whatever.
Yeah.
But with this, you're just meant to... Oh, I'm just meant to know that that's the same character as earlier. What, because you're doing the same voice?
Yeah,
and
because you've got the same physicality and the same voice. What the hell?
Why
did anybody warn me? Sorry. Very stressful.
Really, really stressful.
Sorry.
I can't be expected to follow all of these threads.
No!
It wasn't even just one story.
No,
it was like three
several.
Or something.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
And
so
you know
it was exhausting to watch.
Totally exhausting. And Ruth, people around me were laughing.
Now, is this even meant to be funny?
I don't know,
no,
because
don't
nobody
know.
Told me at the start. Nobody said, hello, these are some games, they will be funny. Or nobody
no.
laid out the rules.
Is this comedy?
Mm-mm.
What is this that I'm watching?
Mm-mm. I'll tell you what it was not. It was not Whose Line Is It Anyway?
It was not Whose Line Is It Anyway? No one up there was Colin Mochrie.
There was not a Colin Mochrie to
amongst
be seen.
Them, no.
And it certainly wasn't a Tony Slattery.
So,
no. You know. So that was all very... But there was something else that troubled me. Yeah, the other thing that troubled me, and I think yourself as well, was I just wanted them to be honest about the pre-planned bits.
Yeah. This is now. Here we hit. This is the rub, isn't it?
This is the rub
this
and the nub.
And the nub, yes.
Just be honest.
Just be honest that no one can be that clear and funny in the moment. No one is.
No one can be imaginative. As we know, I think we've both discussed this, like, in terms of comedians, sketch groups, etc. They all draw on their own life.
Yes.
So nobody... You can't draw further from yourself.
No, you can't just be... No one can just be imaginative there and then in the moment.
No.
It takes hours of sitting at a desk, looking at a blinking cursor, thinking about one's life.
It's that blinking cursor is sort of like a muse.
It is.
Is that your muse? Would you say that was your muse?
Right. It's like a sort of Greek chorus to me.
Yeah.
Right. What? Oh, the things that could be written on this page but aren't yet, you know.
That's beautiful.
So just be honest that's obviously what you've done.
Yeah.
You've written this all out.
Yeah.
I saw some musical improvisation.
I mean, it just...
Come off it.
But come off it, guys.
Come off it.
I mean, yes, but really.
No one can... What? You expect me to believe?
Yeah.
That you're just singing some words and with notes.
I know.
And you're just thinking of that as you go along.
Yeah, I know.
So that's what I wrote in my review.
Yeah.
I just said, well, they clearly got lots pre-planned here.
Yeah, and then they made you go back and review two
they made
more.
Me, and,
as,
you know, they were very, very different.
Yeah, but...
But they followed... They all had characters.
What?
They all had plot.
Oh, for God's sake.
They all had, you know, notes. Well, they both had a piano.
Oh, for Christ.
Do you expect me not to see these links?
And also, I mean, like, as you said to me at the time, you say they made you come back for three shows. And it was just lucky for them that you saw three different shows. They've obviously got a rotating batch of ten.
And also they knew I was coming.
Yeah.
So like, oh, shit.
Let's do number eight. Because, you know... I mean, you know, good on... To be honest, I'd be more impressed if they were to just be honest and say, yes, we've learned 10 different musicals.
10 different musicals, and we just do those.
We do those on rotation.
No one's going to come to more than 10.
Exactly. So. And we adapt them, you know. Sometimes, I mean, what's like, you know, IKEA can easily be adapted to the pits of hell. You know?
Exactly.
So, and you whatever know, location the audience chooses.
They just, they'll change Sandra to Satan.
Yeah.
In that example.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, so.
For me, because I came to one of those, because obviously I remember on your third one, you wanted a bit of company.
It was very drab, yes.
And
what's more drab than a musical?
What's more drab and obvious than a sold-out musical?
I had a stand, eventually.
No, they wouldn't let you.
They wouldn't give me a seat. There were lots of seats, but they wouldn't let me sit down.
No. Yeah. But, so, what I found with that, was that I just thought it was interesting. And I was like, guys, actually, I would prefer it if you were honest about your earpieces.
Yeah.
With the information coming through, you know, the prompt. I mean, obviously, that prompt should be the one who has the accolades.
He or she should come on and take a bow
exactly,
at the end.
Exactly, you know. So, yeah, the earpiece really sort of irked me that they weren't being honest about that, you know, and that sort of...
Yeah, it's like Countdown.
Yeah.
They all wear earpieces on that. Everyone knows that. It's an industry secret.
Yeah, I know.
Open secret.
Well, yes, it is quite. And you know, I think for you as well, you felt that you would have preferred... Well, you tried to watch it from the wings so that you could see the auto cue, but I know that they wouldn't let you.
They wouldn't let me. I sort of rushed... the stage, but I was stopped pretty swiftly by security, and I even tried disguising myself as a fire extinguisher.
Yeah,
on day three.
Well, yes, I remember you borrowed one of the items from one of the sketch troupe.
Yeah,
he was very annoyed about that.
Yeah, because apparently they needed it or something.
Needed it for the character.
In inverted commas.
Yeah, exactly. Quite. I mean, was that sketch really necessary in their show?
It was the finale. So it was near the end, clearly not important.
No, clearly not important. It was just a through-line narrative about the Fire of London and, you know, like, say, just a sort of just afterthought.
Throwaway thing. If you have to do it with costume and you can't just do it with acting.
Yeah, the power of acting
with your voice, your tool.
Yeah.
Your voice and your body.
Your one tool.
Then why are you in this profession in the first place? You can't do it with that.
I know. No. Yeah, did you find that there were any other elements of irritating trickery? I mean, for me, yeah, so as we discussed, the auto cue, it would have been nice to have seen that.
Spin it round. So we can see what's happening.
Yeah.
Take us behind the veil.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because I think that would be quite refreshing.
Yeah, definitely.
You know.
I would have quite liked to have seen the flashcards that the sort of compare type directory person had, to deal with every eventuality of audience response.
Yes. Every quick comeback.
Yeah.
You know. And they've probably got some sort of computer program where they can put in what the audience says.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And it will say, here's a list of funny quips.
Exactly.
Like a database or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine that's what it is.
And again, like, you know, the person who invented that, take a bow.
Take a bow. Come on, take your bow, sir or madam.
Or madam.
You know.
Yeah.
Instead, it's these people who are just reaping the benefits of that invention.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that oh, thank you, flowers, applause.
Yeah.
It's the world's upside down.
It's not right.
It's not right.
It's not right. It's and I know that for you, you know, I found it stressful that nobody was telling me what was going to happen in any of these scenarios. And I know you found it stressful that that it was so loose. And that almost like because I know that, you know, as a child you your parents were quite sort of interested in the fact that you didn't have an imagination, and
exactly.
They found that very intriguing.
And this is the point, they made me rehearse and write down what I was going to say every day.
Yeah.
So I had a daily script.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, even movement. We worked out blocking. We had blocking for school.
Kitchen area.
So at home, I had a little sort of mini. It was marked out with gaffer tape on the floor. Yeah. Here's the corridor. Here's the school hall, and so on. And I'd have to mark out my movement for the next day every evening and practice the lines.
Mm.
You know, oh, that's a simultaneous equation. Yeah. That sort of thing. Mm. You know. Mm. So, why can't we can just all admit that every day we're reading from a script.
Yeah.
So, of course they're reading from a script on stage.
Yeah.
Goes without saying.
Goes without saying.
So lift the veil on this sort of ridiculous... Can we call it a scam?
Indeed we can, and indeed we will, when our final improv slash impro reviews are out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, that's going to be an exclusive... Absolutely. On your blog?
No, absolutely, because I just feel that I've had it up to here with, you know, being tricked and being, and not being explained to.
Exactly.
You know, it's very...
And they really stress you out,
don't
they?
I don't like it at all. And do you know what else really stressed me out? Was there were moments in some of the improvisation that I saw of the long form, which were not being played for laughs, and that confused me. As well,
what they tried to hit an emotional.
Yes, and I didn't know how to feel about that, Ruth. Again, nobody told me what the genre was.
What genre is it? I need to come in and know where this is going to be set.
Yeah.
Is it set in the past? Is it set now?
Yeah.
Is it set in a hot air balloon or in Iraq?
Yeah.
I need to know before I walk in the room.
And it sort of upset me, and I couldn't talk yesterday, and it might be happening again.
Is it happening now? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think partially, we're all very tired. I should say, for the people listening, that Hayley and I have been reviewing 10 to 13 shows a day. So, and we sort of do midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 2 a.m. shows. And so Hayley has, you've basically been living off Red Bull, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes Monster if they don't have Red Bull.
Lots of Monster.
So her heart rate is really increased at the moment, isn't it?
Severe palpitations.
Yeah. What would your review of these symptoms be?
I would say it would be a 4-star.
Yeah.
In terms of commitment.
Yeah.
Of symptoms.
Because you are really, you know, in fact, there's another Red Bull there.
And I can't really stop. And,
that's spoken like a true artist.
I can't stop. I have to
drink this.
Yeah.
You know? So, you can see what we've been going through here. Basically, I think our struggle is more than the performer's struggle.
It's
really hard, isn't it?
It's too many free tickets.
It's very difficult having to go to these shows for free and then write a few sentences about them. It's really exhausting.
I'm going to have to... I'm sorry, Ruth.
I know. Well, just listen. There's only... It's August the, 30th today, so there's only another fortnight left.
Yes.
Only another fortnight left.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I can't watch any more improvised.
Well, okay.
Things.
Let's
don't make me.
We have to go and see that improvised Sherlock Holmes tonight. But then, we will draw the week of improvised shows to a close. And then
it's too confusing.
We do have to go and see King Lear, but that's written. You know what happened. I've read that.
They told me. It wasn't a comedy.
Transferring the time zone. They're making it... Oh, it's set in Vietnam. Okay, so, but keep calm.
But that's contemporary. I like that.
That's contemporary. Yeah. And I've told you that now. So you're prepared.
Thank you.
You're prepared for that. Mm-hmm. It's King Lear in Vietnam.
Great.
So that sounds right up your street.
It's right up my street.
You know?
It's literally right up my street. It's happening
outside now. Mm-hmm. So we'll be late. Mm-hmm. But what reviewer isn't a little bit late... for something. It doesn't mean that you can't still get a gist of what's happened in the show.
It's sort of...
fashionably late. Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, an hour show, I think it's fine to turn up 15 or 20 minutes. You know, if they're not going to wow me in the last 40 minutes,
yeah, then
what's the point?
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for talking.
You go and have a lie down. You don't have to watch it to review it. Remember?
No, I know. I'll experience your feedback and then I'll review it.
Exactly.
You
just have a glance out the window and
actually,
see what they're doing.
I think they might be periscoping it.
So you can just watch that. We'll switch it on. Mm. Because, you know, if they can't get the experience across through your phone,
yeah,
why are they even bothering in this industry?
Yeah.
You know. Okay, so you have a lie down. How is it in the cupboard? Just one last
you know,
thing.
It's actually all right.
Yeah. I don't sleep standing up, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's my preference anyway.
Okay.
So I've been sleeping standing up, but I sort of lean. I prop myself against the ironing board. Yeah. So yeah. It sort of provides a sort of, I wedge myself in.
Yeah.
And that's comfort. That's
so, look out for our next review. That'll be coming in a couple of weeks.
The final fortnight
of The Fringe. And so that's a goodbye from me, Ruth Goodchild.
It's good. And from me as well. No more improv.
No more improv.
You've been listening to Back Row with Susan Harrison and Gemma Arrowsmith. This was an Edinburgh Fringe 2015 special. We're currently planning a live recording in front of an audience in September, so please keep an eye on our Twitter account at Back Row Podcast. We'll have Hayley and Ruth reviewing live and also some wonderful guests. So please do come along and see us and say hello. Okay, bye.